Speaking of tours, let's get on to the social side of playing for Gloucester Rugby.
It was as hard socially as it was playing. And even the South African tour with Gloucestershire, and we were virtually, you could say you were 95% fit, basically. You couldn't be any fitter, you know. The South Africans arranged for you to go to a brewery 2 days before we match. And Gloucester was, the Gloucester tours, I mean, when we went to Cornwall, they used to take the front seat out to the coach to put two barrels of beer. And everybody had a pint glass. The coach broke down outside the Bristol Hotel. And before we get the coach fixed, two barrels were empty. We were going down to Cornwall, and we stopped at a shop, and people got off and got a sandwich and something, and we got back on that. They always had a card scored at the back of the coach, and we got back on the coach, we set off, card score was playing, and Roy Evans, the driver, said, "Quick, hide the glasses, police car, there's a car flashing us, quick." So we put the glasses down, this car pulls up in front, and Bob Clues gets out of the car. We'd left him at the shop, and he was part of the card school. But the social side of rugby is, I don't want to like today, but as I said right at the start, you know, you play away at Cheltenham, Stroud, you still didn't get home until 1 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning. And go down to Wales, well, you know, you were talking 2-3 o'clock in the morning. Mm. Because you stayed until the bar closed. Then you went for a curry. We used to, in the old days, the West End Cafe, just on West Gate Street Bridge, used to be an old cafe down there that lorry drivers used to go to. And it was the 69-70 season. We all went back there one night when we got back, and Jack Folk managed to get Tom Palmer to ask for more bread and butter, and it was a little bit like Dickens because the look on this lady's face when Tom asked for more bread. Yeah, so yeah, the social life was fantastic, and the social life become the family, yeah. You know, you'd have we'd have dinner parties at our house, we still do, but I mean, we'd have dinner parties from our house, and you'd have Dick sat there, Bernie sat there, Pop sat there, Colin Teague sat there, Roy Long sat there, you know, players sort of socialised, yeah, as much in the rugby as they did outside, basically. Yeah. But definitely too much beer.
What players do you particularly remember, you know, had party pieces to keep you entertained?
John Simonette, yeah, was one of the best magicians I've ever seen. Yeah. Digger, obviously. Berto followed on from Digger. I think they were the ones that really stood out.
Yeah.
You know. John Simonette just kept us entertained all the time, really.
Did you have a party piece, Fred?
No, I don't think so. Couldn't sing that one.
Just in the chorus.
Just in the chorus. Very, very good. Yeah, very good in the chorus. Yeah. Yeah. You could get stuck sometimes. I mean, we played Bristol, and they this must have been in the 69-70 round. And from the Bristol club, they would go to a pub called the Atchet. And stupidly, I got sat between Roy and Jack Folk. And I'm afraid those boys could drink. And even when the man shouted, you know, the barman shouted time, they had time for three more.
How about your involvement with rugby, you know, after you stopped playing?
When I stopped playing, I become team secretary. So on selection, and a number of years being a selector and team secretary, and then I could see my outside life had changed through rugby. I ended up as industrial relations executive for Babcock International, looking after 6,000 people, five companies. From a working family background, I could see the changes coming, and was disappointed that we weren't managing those changes at the time. As I said, you know, the rugby side stayed the rugby, and the finance side stayed the finance side. But I could see there was a need to change. And then I started talking about having somebody that's representing the rugby club, talking to businesses, and looking for sponsorship and things like that. And took that responsibility on. And that also brought me into...
When are we talking there? Sort of 80s into the 90s?
80, I think it was about 92, 93 maybe. So it was in the early 90s, then just before it really was turning professional. And the changes weren't changing as they should have changed. Really, we needed to take more grip on the club itself, not just the rugby side, but the finance side.
So that was when the club was restructured.
Yes,
before Tom Walkinshaw.
Before Tom Walkinshaw came.
And you were on the committee.
I actually come off the committee for work reasons. But in the end of the day, I could see that it wasn't moving fast enough. And you were getting to a situation where you could actually lose friends rather than gain friends. And I decided that I didn't want to do that. And then I looked after Peter Glanville then. So I was his agent manager.
All right.
In his early days.
Yeah.
So I negotiated his contracts.
Yeah.
I got plenty. No, I didn't. I think it was 1% of zero. Yeah, so I looked after Pete Glanville for a couple of seasons.
Yeah.
Ozzy wanted it. But that was more through friendship of his father.
Yeah.
And my skills of a negotiator, really. So we do miss that, though. And now it's nice to be back involved with the Old Players Association, and starting to build that, and I don't know where it's going to be in the long term future with the professional game, because a lot of players aren't going to be here. It's going to change. I mean, I think they've seen that with the Cherry Pickers, for instance. The Cherry Pickers, they're running out of players, basically. We can play golf. That continues quite nice at the moment, but in years to come, I can see even that changing, when there's not going to be enough players around. Really, they're going to go back home.
Yeah,
they're not all going to stay in Gloucestershire.
No, that's right. Yeah, although I think it's got quite a lot of years to run.
And there's a lot of the. The crossover between amateur and professional, they've still got to come back. There's a good squad, and you know that's around that will slowly come out. And this is one of the things we're trying to do with the 40th anniversary dinner, is to get a lot of more players that's just drifted away to come back and to see what's actually happening at the moment.
Yeah.
Which can only be for the good, really.
And have you what were your views of professionalism when it came along?
I embraced it. It had to happen, and this is one of the reasons I really resigned from the committee, because people weren't prepared to change that quick. As far as I was concerned, I could see the writing on the wall. I don't think the rugby union did it correctly. I think they should have looked at football, you know, where you've got professional amateurs, semi-professionals, etc., etc., rather than turn around and say, right, rugby union's going professional tomorrow. And they should have controlled it a little bit better, I think. And the control still needs to be there, I think. I mean, what we don't want to do is go down the football road of paying players thousands and thousands of pounds, and then seeing football clubs going into receivership because they haven't paid their taxes. But I think it's been good for the game. I would love to have played in the professional era. I'd love to have trained and trained and trained and played. They've got the greatest opportunities, I think. Not too sure they 100% realise that. You know, if we look back at the older days of playing twice a week and training twice a week. I mean, the facilities they've got today, I mean, at Arbury College, I mean, it's absolutely amazing.
Did you play other sports as well?
Yeah, I played a lot of squash. I love playing squash. Funny enough, I used to play with Barry Corliss when he was here. Before I dismissed him. which is, I think he's put in his book.
Tell us about that.
Well, he wasn't doing a very good job. Spending more time outside rugby than in rugby, and the committee decided that it was time to part company. So again, with my HR background, was given the job to actually remove him, which I did, and it was quite strange really because we were playing squash that day as well. So I played a lot of squash. Limited cricket, but I love squash. I was part of the setup at Doughty's when I was working for Doughty, playing in the leagues. And there's a lot of players played squash to keep themselves fit as well. I played Mike Teague on a Sunday after he played his international games, and then we meet up at the squash club on a Sunday, and I'd play in squash on a Sunday morning to run the stiffness really out of him. And then there was a big group of us who used to play on a Friday night at the Civil Service Club. Mike Nichols, Alan Brand, Boothie, the South. So there was a gang playing.
What have we left out, Fred? What should we have thought to ask you about?
I don't think there's much else, really. This is quite a few stories, but maybe another time.
Oh, no. Now it is.
I'm trying to think. Some really stupid ones. I mean, the day when Peter Ford fell off the bus.
What was that?
He thought the door was shut on the coach and put his hand out to lean against the door. The door was open.
A dull boy moment.
It was. Yeah, he ended up on the gravel in a car park. Yeah, we couldn't get into a club. We used to go to a club called the Barn Club. On the Cornish tours, and they wouldn't let us in one night. They said they were full. So Digger Morris said to Jerry Erneman, he said, "You got your warrant card? Yes, give it me." He said, "What for?" He said, "Just give it me." He said, "Right, 'cause there's me, Jerry, Ronnie Etheridge, and Digger. Walked straight through the kitchen, drug squat, and got us into the club." Yeah. Now there's not a lot more really. I'm just trying to rack my brain. It was a great life. It was good. It was nice to be recognised as one of the top six in the country, although didn't get any further. But
that was in 75, wasn't it? Before the tour of South Africa.
Yes, it was.
Summer, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. 1975. And that recognition, you know, was really the pinnacle. But if you do it, would I do it again? Most definitely.
Yeah.
You know, if you go through the same pain barriers, you end up with a plate in your arm, fractured sternum, all these injuries that you get. Would you do it again? Yes, most definitely. To play for Gloucester Rugby Club, but I'd put the shirt on tomorrow. No hesitation. Probably wouldn't be able to do anything, but
but the pride would swell.
Yes, most definitely. Thank you for the opportunity.
Well, thank you very much for talking to us, Fred. That's been a thoroughly entertaining and interesting afternoon.
Thank you.
Thank you.